We are right here, and yes, it is time for Meet Me at the Diner. Today I have two great guys sitting across from the table here today. Really glad this is the third time. If they'd stood me up this time, it was going to be SOL. But I have Colonel Ronald Taylor, and I have Sergeant Major Witt with us here today. Sergeant Major Witt is going to be the silent partner here. We always ask you to wave at the camera when we do our... We do our video, so people will know who you are. But Colonel Taylor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and thank you for letting me be here today.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming. Now, when I talked to you last fall with General Livingston, you had just taken on this job of taking care of our National Guard and making sure that we have all these good programs to help them come back in, and also taking care of the families. How have things been coming along?
Well, for the past 7-8 months, it's been fast and furious, but it's been really good.
Don't use those words, fast and furious, here.
Excuse my slang there, but it's been really good. Well, we've set some great programs in place for our service members and our families. They have been there always, but we've consolidated them under one directorate, and it's made a comprehensive approach to what we're trying to do, and it's worked very well.
Well, I know one of the things is that a lot of people don't even think about this, but we may have a National Guard family living in amongst a neighborhood. They're not consolidated together like they are on an Army base, and so it makes it tough when the families are dealing with being alone without their spouse, but it also makes it tough when they come back to be able to help them reintegrate into the communities.
Absolutely, and that was one of the main, I guess, genesis of what we were trying to do. You know, if you're in the National Guard, when you deploy, when you come back, there's a 3-day demo process. Basically, make sure you're taken care of, your paperwork's correct, and then you're returned back to your civilian life. Unlike active duty, you come back to a military installation, and you're still together with your service members that you deployed with, your families are still together. So we try to create a program that helps connect a service member when they come back from a National Guard deployment and they're in the National Guard Reserve. There's ways for them to connect to services and programs to help them through that reintegration and that reunion process.
Now, one of the things, of course, that we are so saddened to hear is that we had 3 National Guards killed in Afghanistan, and then there are 5 that have been wounded. Is that correct?
Right. On the 20th of June, we did have an incident in Afghanistan in Khost Province where we had 3 individuals we lost to an IED. And we had 5 individuals who were injured. We had the funerals for 2 of the individuals this past Saturday, Lieutenant Rawl and Sergeant Metter. And Sergeant First Class Thomas' funeral was yesterday in Easley, South Carolina. The 5 individuals who were wounded, they are all back in the United States now. 1 individual is at Fort Gordon, the other 4 at Bethesda. And they're all being well taken care of right now. So our plan right now, our process right now, is to make sure we're taking care of the families of the fallen. Make sure they're well, able to deal with the situation the best that they can. So we have services available for them, and we want to make sure they're okay. We also want to make sure the family of the wounded are okay. They're being able to transport them or help them go to those individual locations where they're at. So the family members are there at their side now. And also programs in place now to help the service members who are still remain in country. That have lost some individuals and have some wounded individuals, how are they dealing with it? Because the mission goes on, and also make sure we ensure the families of the individuals who are still in country that everything's okay, and again, the mission goes on, but we make sure they're safe and secure and doing the thing they're supposed to do.
You know, that's one side that you actually don't think about, is that in country it's still going on, and they have suffered a loss that has to be pretty traumatic to the whole group.
Right. Yeah, those individuals, they had to keep doing their mission that night, that next day, every day since those individuals have been injured. So it's tough, but they're being taken care of, and their needs are being met in country. And it's something, something they need, we make sure they get it. And the unit they belong to in country, the MP Battalion, is a great battalion. They have a great commander, and he's looking out for those individuals.
You know, we think about this, and yet we don't, in Vietnam, there was massive slaughters of individuals, and still they had to go on. And, I mean, you know, it's not something that you like to think about, but it is part of the process, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, our soldiers are the best-trained soldiers in the world. We make sure they have the knowledge, the skills, and the equipment to perform their mission. So they're well able to do what they're supposed to do. But it still has its impact. It still has its things that need to be addressed, and that's what we're trying to do, is make sure we take care of those things. But, again, we have the best soldiers and the best equipment in the world, and they're doing a great job over there right now today.
Well, I understand that everybody in Afghanistan, I don't know if you heard this or not, but everybody who is serving in Afghanistan is going to have pizza on the 4th of July. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that.
They are actually transporting pizzas, 30,000, 40,000 pizzas over there. DHL and a company called, the website is pizzasforpatriots.com, is sending pizzas over there. They'll be on they have dry ice. I think they have to transport them in three or four different legs, so they'll have to replace the ice. They're deep dish pizzas, so they're going to have to be cooked. But everything has been worked out to send that over there for 4th of July. Isn't that great?
It is. That is a great surprise. And, again, the community for the soldiers has just been overwhelming. You know, and that's one good thing about the Guard, too. When you bring the Guard into a conflict, you're bringing the community into a conflict. And the community stands behind what we're doing. And this is just another great example of how the community stands behind their service members overseas.
And you know, one of the other things about it is, you know, I think the National Guard, we never really thought is being there for 6 months, 8 months, long periods of time. But now the Guard does stand in that direction.
The Guard has, you know, has always been there, you know, back to World War II, even further back to the Revolutionary War. But the Guard has really thought about, being here for natural disasters. But the National Guard has deployed, you know, hundreds of thousands of individuals since 9/11 to Iraq and Afghanistan and all over the world. You know, we have individuals in Kosovo. We have individuals in the Horn of Djibouti.
Horn of Djibouti. Now, that sounds interesting. Maybe we should talk about that, the Horn of Djibouti.
but we have a lot of different places, but people, and that's one of, I guess, my tasks that I've been given with General Livingston is to reach out to the community and make sure they understand what the National Guard is doing. Again, a lot of people have no clue what the National Guard does. We're deployed. Right now, we have our S-16s in Afghanistan. We have troops in Kosovo. We have troops in Kuwait. We have troops getting ready to go out the door in the next couple of weeks. And about a little over 2,000 individuals deployed right now today. And that's going to be a mainstay for the next year, it looks like, right now.
And the other thing is we have our National Guard going so many times, right? I mean, that some of them are being deployed multiple times as opposed to maybe one time. But that creates a lot of heartache for the family and for the people, too.
It does. You know, the norm is really for units to deploy one in 5 years if you're in the National Guard. We have some individuals who transfer from unit to unit. So when they come back from deployment, they may have deployed with one unit, but now they transfer to another unit, and that unit may be getting a call to go up. So, you know, we have some individuals in the South Carolina National Guard who probably deployed three or four times. Some may even be five at this point in time. But we do have a lot of who just want to go, and they volunteer to go as well. So we have those individuals as well. But normally a unit will have a deployment in 1 in 4 to 5 years.
Wow. We've got a group going out of Greenwood here in, I think it's October, National Guard unit out of here in October, from what I understand.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm not sure about the specific unit not here in Greenwood. But, again, we have units that are deploying. We have some that are actually having going-away ceremonies this week. And this weekend, the ones that are going to Kosovo, so we have those going on. We have our engineer battalion who is going out the door as well. They're going to go to Afghanistan, and then the engineer battalion out of this part of the country is going right now slated to go in the next year or so. So it's a continuous thing with the Guard nowadays. So with that continuous process, we've got to make sure we have programs in place to making sure that the community is aware of what these soldiers are doing and their families are well taken care of and that service member is well taken care of as well.
Now, how many people are in the National Guard in South Carolina?
The Army National Guard, again, the strength kind of varies, but right now it's about 9,400 in the Army National Guard and a little over 1,000 in the Air National Guard. So about 10,500 to 11,000 any given day. And that's just the Army in the air. Also, you have the emergency management and the South Carolina State Guard as well.
So we're going to be talking about some of these programs that are available not only for active returning veterans, but also to families, some of the programs that are available. How can you find out about them? Well, you got to stay tuned right here on WCRS, but also we'll be giving you some websites and ways to contact them, too. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after this word.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right, we are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery, right here on the 72 Bypass. I am having a fabulous conversation here with Colonel Ronald Taylor and Sergeant Major Witt. Sergeant Major Witt being the silent one, but when we're off the air, he's quite talkative, I might add. All right, but anyways, we were talking about some of the things that are available. You know, when we have veterans come home, and of course, when we got out of Iraq, we had a lot come home, didn't we, Colonel Taylor?
We did, just from the Army itself as a whole, but the National Guard, you know, we continue to deploy folks to Kuwait and to Afghanistan as well as Kosovo. So I guess the impact from the Iraq drawdown has not really impacted the National Guard as much as it has the active duty.
Okay. But let's talk about some of the programs. And, you know, one of the programs I know we were talking about before we came on the air was programs for children or young people, because this is a group that, while you have programs, they've kind of been a little bit not been in the center of things, and yet we're finding that it's very, very, very important to include them. What can you tell us about the types of programs y'all are offering now?
Well, for our youth, you know, we've always had a robust, I guess, youth program, but to make sure our children are taken care of. We've always had a youth camp every year. The Second National Guard has sponsored. We bring about 150 youth to various locations around South Carolina. This year, our actual youth camp is going to be the 22nd of July through the 28th of July, and it's going to be at Camp Bob Cooper down at Santee. We bring about 150 kids in that are service members, dependents, for a great week of high adventure and training and resiliency training and that type of stuff.
Are you trying to get them in the National Guard at that young age? I just need to ask the question.
It is no way, shape, or form a recruiting event. It is an event for children to get away and to forget some of the things they're going through since their spouses or their parents are deployed. And to have a good time with other kids their age. You know, again, they do high ropes courses. They do a lot of swimming, just adventure. Last year, we actually took them parasailing, so a great opportunity. And it's just a good time for kids to get together and have a good time. But some things we're looking at, you know, every event we have, you know, we bring our youth in, and when an individual comes back from deployment, we have two major events. That's a 30-day event. So 30 days after an individual deploys, they come in with their spouse, to an event, and they normally bring their youth or their children with them, and we have programs set for them as well. But what we're trying to do now is look at specific things that youth are being impacted by and youth want to see to help them through. So we're going to create a youth panel for our youth now to try and get a cross-pollination of what we have across the state, bring some of those key youth in, and just talk to them and see what's going on that we can create some additional programs to help our youth out with.
So now, these programs, are they just out of Columbia, or, you know, we've got a whole state here, and I know you're over the whole state. How is this working, and what would be a telephone number if somebody wants to get more information, or how should they contact you?
Specifically about the youth or about the...
programs that we're talking about.
The J-1-1 directorate, you know, I have 19 different branches that belong to me, and at any given time, if anyone needs to talk with anyone about the J-1-1 programs, they can call me at my office at 803-299-1461, or they can call 803-299-4200, and that is our switchboard, and they can ask specifically to talk to anyone about the J11, and they will switch them to that specific individual they need the information for. So they need to talk with someone about an ID card. They need to talk to someone about education. They need to talk to someone about funeral honors. They need to talk to someone about family programs. Just mention what specifically you're looking at. Talk to someone, and we'll get you connected to that right person.
So you have really you have expanded what you all are doing now for veterans, correct, or for active duty military?
We have expanded, I guess, you know, we've always had the programs in place, but they were separated across different directors from the National Guard. You know, some new programs we have stood up, the employment piece, which I'd love to talk about in a little bit. But we brought them all into one director to give us, again, cohesion, so a family member can go to one place and get help.
I think that's important. I think, you know, that makes it so much easier, because one of the hardest things, I think, is if you can't get to where you need to go, sometimes you just give up.
That's exactly right. You know, and it's very difficult when you try to work your way through that internet process, through that that global process of online. You know, a lot of stuff has gone online. We want someone to be able to answer a phone and talk you through a process, not for you to go in and click a button, and then someone calls you back. So that's kind of the intent of our one-stop process, our one-stop shop that we're trying to create.
Absolutely. I think that's terrific. You know, if you have a question, if you've been having an issue, need to know the direction to go, this is a great time to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are going to be talking some more about the programs. We're going to be talking about the jobs. I know they've had a lot of businesses come on board to help out with getting National Guard people back to work and finding the appropriate jobs for them. And so if you are in that situation or you know somebody that is, you might want to tell them to tune in right here on 1450 AM. Don't you go away. South Carolina News is up, and we'll be right back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
That's right. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are here with Colonel Ronald F. Taylor. He's the director of the, is it J1? Is that what we actually call this?
J1.1, Service Member and Family Care.
J1.1. I am becoming a professional here. The more I deal with veterans and the more I hear, you know, I saw you when I went on an honor flight back in May. Wasn't that a phenomenal outpouring for that event? You were there that night.
Absolutely. I was there that morning for the actual departure, and I came back that evening for that actual return flight. And it is just awesome. And just while we were talking about a little bit while we were off the air, is just a tremendous outpour for veterans in the state of South Carolina. It's just absolutely amazing. And the honor flight is just another one of those fine examples of how the citizens want to make sure they take care of their veterans in South Carolina.
Well, I mean, I had a fabulous time. I had great stories. And, you know, just to add to that, you and I were talking about the three National Guard that died over there in Afghanistan and the funerals that were had this last week. Tell us a little bit about what you saw at these things. It's going to blow our minds, the number of people and the outpouring at the communities.
Right. You know, and I was able to participate in the funeral this past week on Saturday morning. Lieutenant Rawl, who was passed away in Afghanistan, as well as Sergeant Metter. Both their funerals were 10 o'clock Saturday morning. And the reason they were at 10 o'clock is it's a family decision on when they want to have that actual service. So they both decided to do theirs at 10 o'clock. But that just total outpour from the citizens from Lexington County, for both those individuals, and Richland County, New Orleans, and all the state of South Carolina, is just overwhelming. You know, Lieutenant Rawl's procession from the funeral home to the actual church, it was about a 1 mile, 1.5 mile trip, and it was at least three individuals deep on both sides of the road all the way down there. You know, I was thinking, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 individuals. Everyone had flags. Everyone had signs. It was overwhelming, and I know the spouses and the family members appreciate the community. Same for Sergeant Metter and his funeral procession, as well as the Sarpers Class Thomas yesterday in Easley. Just the overwhelming support for that community. There were flags. They had actual caisson from 1.8 miles to the actual funeral site or the interment site, and it was lined with individuals from that community. Just overwhelming support.
I know you told me that when this was first announced that people were calling from all over South Carolina to see if they're, you know, help get the family, help do anything that they could do. And you know, I think what you were telling me is that that's very different than a lot of parts of the United States.
Absolutely. You know, just myself alone, you know, I probably fielded at least 50 to 100 phone calls from individuals who wanted to provide support to the three individuals who we lost to their families, as well as the wounded, and to the whole unit and to the National Guard, from churches wanting to donate food and help the families, to individuals who want to participate in the funeral, individuals who wanted to help the family move around from one point to the other if they needed that type of help. I mean, it was just overwhelming, you know, individuals wanting to donate flowers, cakes, anything they could do to help out. Whatever part of society they were part of, they wanted to be able to contribute what they could.
That just gives me goosebumps to think about it, you know, that we have that much caring and concern in South Carolina.
Yeah, you know, South Carolina is a great state and has a great military history, a lot of military installations here in South Carolina. And the community just overwhelmingly supports the military. I mean, and that's one thing about the National Guard, too. A lot of individuals come from all across the state of South Carolina. And I'm assured that if a National Guard individual deploys, someone in that community knows an individual. So everybody knows someone from the National Guard who's deploying or someone who's in the military. It's just overwhelming, the commitment of our citizens in South Carolina to support our military.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you told me was a problem for some of our National Guard was being in college and being called up to be deployed. And, of course, if you were in school and you had to pull out, this was a problem.
Right. Not sure why it took so long to figure this out, but the National Guard...
Well, we needed Colonel Taylor here, I guess.
Well, this is a program that Dr. Chow, who is he's a world-renowned dermatologist, but he also serves in the Air National Guard. He's working a project with General McKinley, who is the director of the Army National Guard. And they were just thinking one day, and same thing that I was, you know, that we have service members who deploy that are currently enrolled in college. And if they get the word they're going to deploy in January, they've already enrolled, they've already spent their money, they've already taken a few classes. So when they come up and actually deploy, that service member may have a 4.0 GPA, and they have to withdraw or they get an incomplete when they deploy. So they'll have a zero on their GPA, which really hurts them. So we're working with two of the major universities, the University of South Carolina and Clemson University, who've already agreed to help out and see what we can do to help these service members out. The intent is, if you deploy, instead of giving a withdrawal incomplete, it will be like you weren't taking that class, and your money for those classes to the point that you were there will be refunded. If you're a resident student, live on campus, that money that you have not consumed yet from that deployment date until the end of that semester will be reimbursed with you. And we're looking at how we can continue that individual's education while they're overseas, if it's possible, depending upon the mission in the university. And when they come back, they will get priority on re-enrollment in the classes they had to drop out of to deploy. And again, less than 1% of this country is in the military. And in the state of South Carolina, you know, of our 10,000-plus service members, we probably have less than 100 that are affected this way. But to those 100, it's a tremendous, you know, benefit if we can help them out just a little bit. Because, you know, these individuals are starting their career. And some of them have, you know, great GPAs, but when you get four classes that you have to withdraw or incomplete from, it's a drastic impact on what you're going to do in life.
Absolutely. And, of course, what you would like to see is all the universities come on board across the state, all the schools come on board.
Absolutely. And we're hoping to reach out to all the major universities and technical colleges as well, because we have a lot of individuals who go to school, just the whole gamut in South Carolina, higher education level. And somehow bring them together sometime in September is what we're looking at, and have a forum. We're going to reach out and talk to them and see, just bring them in and just talk about what we can do for our service members. If it does come where an individual is in the Guard or Reserve or even active duty, and they get that last-minute call up. They have to go and defend our country and our rights. You know, is there a program, a place that we can help them out with?
Well, that's terrific. Now, of course, one of the others that you have been really big on, of course, the economy has been an issue, but you have had pretty good success, I would say, in helping get National Guard people back to work once they came back here. I mean, that's been you've had some job fairs, and tell us about how that's working.
Right. Last year when I came into this position, June or so, we saw the need to help our service members in the civilian employment realm. You know, they're deploying, they're going overseas, they come back. They did not have a job before they left, and the economy was still bad and not as robust as we want it to be. So what can we put in place? We know the Department of Labor currently has one-stop shops out there, but their focus is on a lot more than just our service member. So we want to try and create a program to help our own, help the South Carolina National Guard members and their families as well, and any veteran out there. So we created the Employment Initiative Branch. And the intent of that branch is to help service members and their families find meaningful employment in the state of South Carolina. We've created a partnership with the South Carolina Employment Workforce. Since General Turner has been on board, he's been a great asset to us. But we actually have individuals who work in Richland County, Lexington County, Aiken, Greenville, Charleston, Rock Hill, and Florence. They're basically aligned with the 7 congressional district areas, and their sole purpose in life is to help individuals find meaningful employment if they're in the South Carolina National Guard. And since 1 October, we placed over 500 individuals back into the civilian workforce, which is tremendous. Again, October, if you were in the National Guard, our unemployment rate was anywhere between 12 and 16%, if you were a member of the National Guard. December, since we started our program, we were down to 8.8%. The 31st of May, we got our employment figures, and we're at 4.1%. So we've been very successful in that program.
Well, I think part of what's made it successful is you've been able to network with businesses, and you've had a lot of businesses come on board and say, yes, I would love to hire a veteran if you can match us up, and that's been a big success.
Absolutely. And some of the businesses in South Carolina, they've been overwhelmingly supportive of it because they know what it's like to hire a service member. They're committed. They know what it's like to work 12, 14 hours a day. They're drug-free, you know, they're in physical condition. So it's great, but our businesses have been overwhelmingly supportive. I mean, you know, everyone from Boeing to QVC to Monster.com, Amazon, I mean, it just goes on and on. Scanna, the South Carolina Highway Patrol, the Shaw Group, I just can't mention them all. It's just
sure.
So many of them.
Well, but I just think it is terrific how that networking and getting the word out there, because I think a lot of people always want to help, but they don't know how to help, and you've been able to address a need, get the word out there, and, of course, people have come on board. You've had a couple, at least two, I know of, job fairs. I know you had a big one down in Columbia last year, or was it the first of this year? I don't remember, but I know you had a big job fair.
We do job fairs at least once a month across the state, and sometimes two and three times a month. So, yes, we've had probably at least 15 different job fairs since December of this year. And we've partnered with the Chamber of Commerce a lot on the job fairs. The Columbia Chamber of Commerce with Ike McLeese has been very supportive of us and what we're trying to do. Horry County, Charleston, Lexington County, we're working up here in Anderson County. So all the different chambers are just overwhelmingly supportive of it. But that's the big piece, is connecting to those civilian employers who want to help, but they don't know how to help. And this is just one way of helping out our service members and their families.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Colonel Taylor and Sergeant Major Witt. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. Again, if you have a question, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're also going to give you some websites and some telephone numbers if you'd like to call them direct after the show. Hey, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We are right here at Sharp Passes Gallery. We're talking about J1.1 service member and family care, and we have Colonel Taylor right here with us. He is the director. You know, one of the things, we're talking about job fairs, we're talking how people, businesses, organizations can get involved to help. And, of course, what you're looking for is to be able to have hubs, I guess, all across the state with the major hub, shall we say, in Columbia, correct?
Right. The ultimate intent for the National Guard is to create one-stop shops around the state. And the intent of that is right now we're creating one at the Bluff Road Army, which is 1225 Bluff Road. It's right by the University of South Carolina football stadium. But the intent is an individual.
And everybody knows where that is.
Especially from up this area.
Yes.
But the intent of that complex is to be able to service any National Guard service member or family member or any veteran who walks in the door and needs help. You know, help from.
So this is not just National Guard.
No, ma'am. I
think that's one of the things that we sometimes forget when we're talking about an organization like this.
You know, absolutely. Even though some of these programs are managed or run by the South Carolina National Guard, we're not going to turn around any veteran who comes in our door. Absolutely not. And I mean, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, Navy. I mean, we're going to help them all. But the intent of the programs were, the origination came from the National Guard, trying to reach out and touch them. But as we reached out and touched, we'd have individuals who walk in the door from other branches of service who need help as well. So we're going to help everyone who comes in the door if they're a veteran. And that's kind of our plight and what we're trying to do. But these one-stop shops, the intent is to, if you come in and need an ID card, we'll have someone there who helps you get an ID card. But all of our staff are trained to see if there's any stressors that may stand out, and we can help direct you to someone else. You may need an ID card and you're frustrated about education and you're not getting those right things for education. We have an education office right down the hall. We can send you down and talk about the education, the GI Bill, how to get enrolled, and what you need to look at. We have financial counselors. If you're having issues with money or you have money, just don't know what to do with it, we can help you plan your finances. We have behavioral health, family counseling, marital counseling. If you have issues that can't get resolved, you know, the Inspector General is there. You know, we can refer you to them as well. So it's all the gamut of what we're trying to do to help a service member and a family member together is in one place.
So this is a good thing. Now let's give out a telephone number where people can write it down and call your office tomorrow and see about getting some assistance in some of the issues that they're dealing with.
Right.
What would be the number?
Well, again, all the different branches have different phone numbers, but if you dial area code 803-299-4200 and ask for what you need help with, they can direct you to it. So, again,
and you'll get a human being on the phone?
You will get a human being on the phone 24 hours a day. And, but they will direct you to it. So if you call and say you want to talk to Colonel Taylor from the J11, they will switch you to me. But I can also give you my phone number if you need to, if you have any questions of me, and I'll make sure you get to the right individual. And my phone number is 803-299-1461.
So these are numbers to write down, and I'll make sure I have those numbers, and we'll be able to give them out again. But, you know, we've talked about the fact of helping get jobs. We've talked about the, you know, one of the issues that I brought up early on, and you kind of corrected me, was that suicide has been in the Army. I think we've had one a day since the first of the year in the whole armed services. But you were telling me in the National Guard that hasn't been an issue.
Well,
luckily,
you know, in the South Carolina National Guard, our last suicide was in 2010. We have put programs in place to help any service member and their family, and to know that there is help out there for everyone. You know, I know everybody has a lot of issues, and not everyone does have issues, but if you do, we have help out there in place to make sure you're taken care of. So no one should have to take their life, you know, across the board anywhere in the United States, but we want to help, and we've been very fortunate, and we continue to put programs in place to educate our service members, to educate our family members, to be able to help their battle buddy, per se. You know, if you don't have issues, we want to make sure your battle buddy is trained or you're trained to recognize the issues in your battle buddy to help them self-commit or help them self-identify issues that they have to get that proper help.
Sure, and there are a lot of issues. There's a whole lot of stress coming home. I mean, and dealing with things. Family members, family things change, and you've got to adapt. And there's nothing wrong with getting that help.
Oh, absolutely not. And that's one of the biggest things we've got to get rid of that stigma that finding help that you need help. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It shows that you're able to recognize and to work through those issues. So to me, someone who goes out and seeks help, it's probably better than someone who doesn't. They self-recognize and they want to help and they want to do better and they want to do better for themselves, their spouse, their family, their friends, and their community.
So that's one part of it. So there's lots of help there. Now, also, though, families. We have families that, as we've talked about, live in the community. You don't even know maybe that they have somebody that is deployed. And, of course, you're telling me that there are services to help families. What kind of services are available to families?
Well, everything that belongs in the National Guard that helps a service member also is out there to help a family member. And it's across the board for all of it. So, again, if they have any questions or concerns, they can reach us as well. But we also have individuals in place to help create family readiness groups, and those family readiness groups are really for unit specific to bring the families together to help them understand, what Jane, Susan, or Bob are doing across the street to dealing with coping with issues of deployment and children, so they understand that they're not going through the problems by themselves. Someone in that same unit probably has the same problem. They can self-identify and help each other through that process. We've also have family assistance centers across the state, and these family assistance centers are really set up to help service members' families while that service member is deployed. And their intent, they're supposed to be calling every family member once a month while their entire deployment rotation. So they should get a phone call at least once a month for 12 months while that service member is deployed, just to connect, to make sure everything's okay, and try to connect them to a service if they need a service.
Absolutely. Well, these are the type of things that is happening, and, I think it's great that you're trying to put these together into one-stop shops that make it easier because, you never know when one issue leads to another issue, correct?
Absolutely, and sometimes they do. When just like you say, when that small thing of that refrigerator messing up, and now you have to go out and put something on a credit card, and now you have financial issues, and it just grows and grows and grows instead of getting that help up front from the get-go. So we want to put programs in place to know there's someone to help you through that first initial issue you have out there.
Absolutely. So if you're a business, if you are an individual, if you have questions, this certainly is a great place to start to try to get some answers or to offer your assistance. So let's give out another number here so people have that number, Colonel Taylor.
Well, again, my phone number is there for them, but they can also go on to SouthCarolinaGuard.com, which is our website, and pull in the information they have, and all our phone numbers are listed there as well. But our family assistance centers, again, are across the state, and our family assistance center supervisor is Miss Debbie McNamee, and Debbie McNamee's phone number is, as I digress here really quick, is 803-667-1432, and she's in charge of all the family programs for the Army National Guard. And Terry DeLille, her phone number is 803-647-8089, and she's in charge of all the family programs for the Air National Guard.
So there is help out there. You just need to know that it is there. Start dialing the phone. Make sure you make those telephone calls. Colonel Taylor, I think it is terrific. This program has come a long way in a short period of time, hasn't it? Because it was last fall that we were talking about this, and you were brand new with the program.
Oh, absolutely. We've come a long way in a short time, and we still have a long way to go. We talked about earlier, my biggest issue I'm facing now is marketing, making sure the families know what programs are out there, what services are out there for both the service member, the family, and the veteran to help them through this process. And there's a lot of programs, a lot of people who want to help. So how do I make sure they're connected to that right organization or place?
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. One of the comments that stuck with me is when you said last fall when we were talking together, is that you can have all the programs, but if you're not connected to the veterans, it's a two-way street. You try to reach out to them, but they have to reach out to you.
Absolutely. And, again, it's that connection piece. It does me no good to have programs in place that aren't being used. And it does a veteran no good to have programs in place that they don't know about and they can't use. So how do we connect a veteran to a program, not just with the National Guard, with the community? The program you mentioned here with the Veterans Office here in Greenwood, a great program, a great opportunity to connect veterans and the community to help our service members and their families.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for coming by and seeing us. I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Absolutely, and thank you for the opportunity to be here, and thanks to Major Witt for being here as well.
There you go. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. News is in progress. I'll be back. Don't you go away.